Blog Talk Radio.
Special guest host here, James Bell. Of course, you may have heard me on the Go Long Media channel as a host for the Boxing Source. That's usually on Sunday nights at 7:30. But just coming in here to talk about some football, as you know, we're pretty much getting ready for the 2019-2020 NFL season. Is going to jump off tomorrow night. So, of course, you're going to have people excited for that. But first, you know, we want to get into the season, the first week, I would say, of college football, the first official week of college football. Of course, you had the opening weekend or opening game last Saturday, August 24th, when you had the Hurricanes and the Gators. If y'all know me, I really don't want to talk very much about that, so we're going to pretty much skip that particular game. And, you know, we'll go ahead and go through the first week of action in college football. You had, like, a few good matchups that did go down in, you know, the country, you know, particularly the top 20 matchup that was featured between Oregon and Auburn. And, you know, you also had a few other games that did take place that, you know, featured top teams like Alabama going up against Duke. You had, you know, opening in the Thursday night game, Clemson against Virginia Tech, and also Texas A&M playing at home against Texas State. But, you know, pretty much wanted to get into that feature game that was Saturday night, Oregon against Auburn. You had, you know, these two teams coming in, you know, with fairly high expectations. I mean, you had Oregon looking to be, you know, I would say a potential Pac-10 title contender. Then Auburn also, you know, being one of the three teams to contend for the SEC West title, of course, with Alabama and LSU there. You know, that would, you know, make it fairly tough for them. And, you know, going through the schedule that Auburn has, you know, including this particular game that they had against Oregon, was one of the toughest schedules that is out there. But, you know, going into, you know, this particular game, you had quarterback for Oregon, Justin Herbert, you know, was projected to be one of the top quarterbacks in the country, had a outlook of being the top quarterback that would be selected in next year's NFL draft. So a lot of eyes were on him for this particular game. And on Auburn's side, you had starting at quarterback, true freshman, Bo Nix. So that was, you know, the first time that Auburn has had a freshman quarterback start for them in, you know, what, over 50 years or so. So this was like a big game for him to go into and, you know, face an Oregon team that was, you know, like I said, kind of like projected to be one of the top contenders to play for the Pac-12 title. So, you know, that kind of shaked up what you had over there in Arlington, Texas, for this particular matchup between the Auburn Tigers and the Oregon Ducks. You know, you had Oregon pretty much start the game off with a fairly good drive, 11-play drive that, you know, culminated in a touchdown run by C.J. Verdell. So they had the, you know, opening lead against Auburn. And then, you know, Auburn was able to, you know, eventually get some points on the board with a field goal by Anders Carlson. But Oregon ended up scoring again pretty much before the end of the first quarter to have a 14-3 lead in that first quarter. And, you know, things kind of like, you know, stalled a little bit as far as like the scoring was concerned in the first half. You only had one field goal by Auburn to have the game pretty much be at 14-6. The Auburn Tigers didn't really kind of, I would say had a very impressive performance there in the first half. You know, Bo Nix kind of, he struggled for most of the game, had a couple of turnovers, did throw two interceptions in this particular, you know, contest. But, you know, it wasn't like much where Oregon could take full advantage of it. And in the second half was where you would have thought, you know, with it being 14-6, and then, you know, you had, you know, Oregon basically go up 21-6 in the third quarter with their 53-yard drive that was capped by Darian Felix's 6-yard run. So you pretty much had like a 2-touchdown lead there by the Oregon Ducks, you know, going into, you know, the second part of the third quarter. And it seemed like, you know, Oregon had things pretty much in lock. But Auburn started to get themselves back into the game by getting a touchdown there in the third quarter to respond. So they had, you know, put it into, you know, an 8-point deficit going into the fourth quarter. And, you know, from that fourth quarter, you know, you still had it to where you would think that Oregon would be able to finish off Auburn, but they didn't go ahead and, you know, try to make the plays to secure possessions and to, you know, I would say secure the game, so to speak. So, you know, my thing is that, you know, them being able to, you know, go five plays and out, then three and out, only getting 5 yards before punting it off to Auburn, and for them to, you know, get a touchdown to get the deficit to 1 point, then you have that key fourth, you know, fourth and one at the 41 on Auburn side of the field, where C.J. Verdell pretty much got stopped behind the line of scrimmage to, you know, get the ball back over to Auburn. But Auburn wasn't able to move the ball then. You know, they had got the ball back to Oregon, but Oregon could not really get themselves to have a sustained drive for them to, you know, eventually, you know, run the clock out. All they had to do was, you know, try to secure the possession, get some first downs, run the clock, and then they would be able to, you know, finish off the game. But, you know, looking at that play selection that they had two passes. They were able to get a first down. Then, you know, they ran the ball in their second first down of that drive. Then, you know, ended up going back to pass. Herbert got sacked, which, you know, that was a key play because they made it third and long instead of, you know, them going to run the ball there at the 2 minute 30-second mark in the fourth quarter to, you know, basically force Auburn to take a timeout. But, you know, even with that sack, Auburn did take a timeout and, you know, was able to, you know, stop the clock there. And then you had that third and long where, you know, Herbert wasn't able to get the first down. And then, you know, their punter pretty much had a punt there where he just punted the ball for, you know, only 30 yards. So that didn't really put Auburn in a pretty much a bad position there for them to get the ball back and drive the ball down the field there against them. So pretty much put things on the Oregon defense to try and stop Auburn. And y'all know there that, you know, Auburn was able to drive the ball down the field, had 11 plays there. And, you know, with 9 seconds to go, they, you know, ran the play from the 26-yard line for Bo Nix to connect with Seth Williams for that touchdown for them to pretty much go ahead 27-21, and that ended up being the game there. So Auburn was able to get that win, you know, 27-21. And, you know, I pretty much say that, you know, that was a game to where, you know, Oregon pretty much held Auburn in check for a majority of the game. But, you know, with them not being able to score more than 21 points against Auburn, that pretty much kind of like did them in. I think that, you know, usually with, you know, teams like top teams like Auburn, LSU, Georgia, and Alabama in the SEC, you're going to have to score, you know, 28 to 35 points for, you know, your team to have a real shot of defeating teams like that. Because, you know, not only you know, could they have instances where, you know, they'll be able to, you know, stop you with the defense, but they could also get you with the, you know, get you with their offense as well. So, I mean, here, I would say that, you know, Auburn got like a good amount of momentum off of this particular game. Like I said, you had their freshman quarterback, Bo Nix. You know, being able to get that, you know, get that win there. He didn't necessarily have a good game overall or a good performance overall. 13-31 passing for 177 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Of course, you had that game-winning touchdown, but, you know, 2 interceptions, you know, it kind of like makes things a bit concerning there for him being under center. So, you know, I kind of like see, you know, that is a thing where you have Bo Nix, not with a very good performance, but, you know, still able to, you know, get the win there with that last, pretty much the touchdown there in the last second. So Auburn, you know, pretty much will move forward there into the rest of his schedule. And, you know, they'll have a, you know, pretty much a down, pretty much have to tone down a little bit. The next couple of games are against Tulane and then against Kent before they have to travel to Texas A&M. And on Oregon's side, I mean, this, you know, could have been something where they could have, you know, had a very good start and would have had at least a top 10 ranking locked down to start off the season. But now with this loss, they'll have to, you know, gain their momentum back. And of course, and they have 2 games that they will be very easy for them, or it should be easy for them, home against Nevada and against Montana before they go to Stanford on September 21st. So, you know, that's what you had there with that key matchup there in the first week of, you know, the college football season. That was, you know, the only game that you had between 2 ranked teams against each other in this first week. Everybody else faced, you know, unranked teams. You had, you know, real quick, of course, on Thursday night, you had Clemson open their season defending their national championship with the number one ranking at home against Georgia Tech. I was able to, you know, get a clear win over Georgia Tech, 52-14, led by Travis Etienne, 205 yards rushing and 3 touchdowns. Trevor Lawrence really didn't have to do that much in this game, but he did have 1 touchdown pass to T. Higgins. But Trevor Lawrence had just 168 yards and a touchdown. But, you know, 13 for 23, and, you know, he had 2 interceptions. I think one of them was basically like a throwaway. So, but still, like 13 for 23, I don't think people would be really concerned about that. But you'll see what happens next week when, or this coming Saturday, when they face a team in Texas A&M, you know, who did get a 41-7 win over Texas State in their opening game. So they'll be prepared to go into Death Valley in South Carolina, 3:30 p.m. Time there, where they're going to be facing the Clemson Tigers. So that's going to be one of the 2 key matchups in week 2 of the college football season. So that did happen on Thursday. You also had Utah in an early rivalry game against BYU, was able to win that game on the road 30-12. I think they have won about like 8 or 9 consecutive games against BYU in this quote unquote rivalry in state. So a lot of people are kind of like having a little buzz about the Utah Utes this season, saying that they may be the favorite in the Pac-12 and could possibly finish the regular season before they go into the Pac-12 championship game undefeated. So they were able to start off their season with a clear 30-12 win over BYU, and you had UCF in action as well. I'm not going to talk about that game. So, you know, just want to move past that. Friday, you had Michigan State in action, winning their game, and a team from Madison win their game as well. And I don't want to talk about that either. but, you know, a couple of things that I did want to point out about week one. The first one is with LSU. You know, a few people are talking about LSU this year because they, you know, were having a new offense that they wanted to, you know, push out there. Of course, you had all of these seasons where, you know, they have all the talent in the skill positions, but they didn't necessarily have the quarterback. But, you know, last year they were able to get Joe Burrow that transferred over to LSU. Now he's had a full year there in Baton Rouge. And in his first particular game, he was able to be 23 for 27 for 278 yards and 5 touchdowns. Now it's probably been a while before or since we've heard of an LSU quarterback throwing for like 5 touchdowns. So that's kind of like a big right there for LSU, getting a 55-3 win over Georgia Southern. And so they're going to be preparing to face Texas this Saturday, who is another top 10 team who won 45-14 over Louisiana Tech. Real quick, I want to get the caller in here. What's going on? You're on Take This Cell, my dude.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Yo, what's up, man? What's up?
Not much, man. They out there working me like a slave. Boy, my goodness.
Yeah, man. Nigga.
And it's...
Yo, you said what?
I said, and it's hot, too.
Oh, see, yeah, that's a double whammy there, man. That's a double whammy. You know,
yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to be out there, you know, when that heat way too long, man. It'll definitely weaken
and
the body,
office,
you know what I mean,
office,
if you're not properly hydrated.
My office is next to a laboratory, so it keeps it really cool. They keep everything really cool, but then your body kind of gets cooled down, so as soon as you step outside, it's like, whoosh.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Man,
that will definitely affect you, man.
I got dehydrated walking to my car. I was like, oh my goodness, I needed a Gatorade and a hug. what I'm talking about? You talking about LSU?
Yeah, you know, just talking about the, you know, them having that first game, you know, having Joe Burrow slinging the ball a little bit. You know, was able to get 5 touchdowns, and I was like, I don't know the last time that a quarterback from LSU had 5 touchdowns. You know, since who is your boy out there to play for the Raiders, man?
DeMarcus Russell. Yeah.
DeMarcus Russell. Yeah, DeMarcus Russell. Like, he probably ain't had like a quarterback throwing like that since DeMarcus Russell.
That's a bad thing when your college can say, that their best quarterback was Jamarcus Russell. It's like, man, even though in college he was good, but it's like all everybody's got to know him for is being a bust. So that kind of lets you know about the state of LSU quarterbacks.
Yeah, LSU, yep, exactly, you know. But they had, you know, I was saying they, you know, kind of like debuted their new, I guess, a new offensive playbook in that game against Georgia Southern. So, you know, I guess the timing for Joe Burrow was pretty good there in that particular game. But, you know, we're going to see how all of that works out here next week when they go up against Texas in one of the, you know, one of the feature games in week two. So, yeah, I'm, you know, very interested to see how that's going to turn out for, you know, LSU, if they're going to be able to, you know, get that offense going against Texas.
Yeah, that's going to be a huge matchup. It's going to be a gut check for both teams. LSU, you know, like you say, you know, it's kind of a different team this year than they've had in previous years. They don't really have that they don't really have a bell cow back, you know, so they're kind of doing a running back by committee. There's not really a, you know, there's no Leonard Fournette. There's no Darius Geis or
Geis. Yeah,
how you say his name? Geis. Is it Geis, you know, so they don't, they don't have that bell cow back. It's kind of almost like they're doing a running back by committee, kind of like they did, what was that, about like 7 years ago or so, where they had like four different running backs that they were rotating through. And I mean, one guy might step up, but he hasn't stepped up yet. So, you know, it's gonna be interesting. Like I said, they got a quarterback back there who can throw. They're not – it's funny because they got the quarterback, but they're not as talented at the wide receiver spot as they've usually been. So now that they finally got the quarterback, they don't, you know, they don't have all those 6'5 guys, you know, that they usually do. I mean, like I said, they got guys, but they don't got the, you know, the Jarvis Landry, the Odell Beckham back there.
The Beckham types,
Exactly, yeah. So, you know, it's gonna be interesting. Like I said, the defense is still good. You know, LSU's been kind of – it's kind of weird. Like, the past couple of years, they've been kind of like the sleeper, you know, team in the SEC, you know, to where they were used to being, you know, at the top or right at the second, you know, kind of like right there with Alabama. It's kind of almost like Georgia has supplanted them. So, you know, they kind of been going under people's radar, and they've been bad, but they just haven't been, you know, LSU dominant, you know. So it's going, like I said, this is going to be a gut check thing, you know, gut check game, especially, you know, like I said, you got Texas coming out. They have a strong, you know, they built off a strong season last year. They got a strong team this year. They got, you know, what's his name? Can't think of his first. Colin Johnson out there, wide receiver, big 6'6 guy. Sam Ellinger, you know, and they're, so they're, like I said, they're gonna, you know, they're gonna come out and they're gonna play their game. Like I said, I think LSU is gonna take this one because I think, you know, like I said, I think Texas lost a couple more pieces last year than they wanted to.
Right.
And you know, they really capitalized off, you know, off their team they had last year. They had a really good team last year. But like I said, I think LSU is going to take this one. It's just, you know, like I said, it's gonna be a gut check for both teams. But, you know, like I said, I mean, you know, you got a quarterback at LSU throwing 5 touchdowns. So, you know, that's something new.
Yeah, and for me, yeah, like you were saying, with Texas, they kind of like lost a good amount of talent from last year. And, you know, it seems like they're kind of like pushing out a lot of young guys out there on the defensive side.
Yeah.
There's only like a few, you know, upperclassmen that they have out there. So, you know, with this being their first, you know, big type of game, and it's, you know, near prime time at home, you know, they got to, you know, be able to see what they could do to try to stop this, you know, new offense that LSU is pulling out. Out there. So, you know, so that's what they had there. And, you know, earlier I was talking about, you know, Clemson opening up, you know, with a big win over Georgia Tech. They really didn't have to do that much, you know, to really, you know, to really have Georgia Tech, you know, really challenge them. They have Texas A&M coming up, you know, this coming Saturday, 3:30, over in Clemson. you know, some people were saying that, you know, maybe Texas A&M would do something. But I'm like, I think they had a much better shot last year than this year. Because, you know, in the second game last year, you know, they didn't have Trevor Lawrence in there. You know, they could, you know, they had a home field advantage, you know, one of the toughest places to play in the country. And, you know, they were close to getting them. But Clemson was able to escape with that win. And, you know, now I just think, you know, with the, you know, with Travis Etienne, who's like, you know, the, what is it, ACC preseason player of the year, or he's probably player of the year last year. And he's kind of like picking up where he left off with 205 yards rushing last week. So it's like, I'm like, I don't know what they're going to be doing against this team.
Etienne had an excellent game last week. Surprisingly, Lawrence didn't have that good of a game. One thing I think the coach is probably going to try to tell Trevor Lawrence is don't try to do too much, you know, because in that type of game, you don't really need Trevor Lawrence to beat them. You know what I mean? You don't like I said, the team going, Clemson going through his motions is going to beat that, you know, is going to beat Georgia Tech, you know, so you don't, you know, so you just want to tell Trevor Lawrence, just calm down. You don't got to force anything. You know, you don't got, you know, basically tell him he got another year left. You don't got to come out win the Heisman this year because he has to come back next year. So, you know, just tell him, be like, look, you don't got nothing to prove to anybody. You don't got to force any throws. You got a running back that's going to have your back, and you got a defense, like I say, they look like, you know, they looked on point. You know, they brought in, you know, they got a lot of young – they got a lot of young guys, and they were playing on point. So, you know, I think Clemson's going to be just fine. I kind of thought maybe that Alabama should have had the number one initial ranking, just off what Clemson lost off their defense. But like I said, I think they're going to be fine. You know, like I said, I think, you know, just once they get settled, you know, you kind of, a lot of teams have those jitters coming off a national championship. And, you know, think that they have to, you know, after every pass has to be, you know, a touchdown. Every run has to be a break, you know, a break loose, and just, you know, just get them in there and start playing ball, and they should be gravy.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, with you know, what they have there up front, you know, a lot of upperclassmen, you know, four guys that are pretty much in their last year of eligibility. And then you have, like I said, Travis Etienne there. They probably have like a couple of other guys that they could use in the backfield. And, you know, just, you know, have Travis Etienne ball. And then, you know, if you need a pass in there, you got, you know, two very good receivers in Higgins. So if you want to be efficient, you can stay efficient. You just, like you said, he doesn't necessarily have to make the big play because he has the athletes around him that could pretty much, you know, do what they need, you know. So he doesn't have to be that all-everything guy that he was in high school. And, you know, he pretty much didn't have to do that in his freshman year, but, you know, they just pretty much ran through everybody last year, you know. So so that's the thing with that. But, you know, yeah, like we're saying with Texas A&M, I mean – this is their second year, you know, under Jimbo Fisher. You got Kellen Mond there also this year, but you know, I have to, you know, see how they come out in this particular game because you know, it wasn't like Kellen Mond threw for a lot of yards in the game against Texas State either, you know, so. So you did have that. Most of the stuff from, you know, the first week wasn't, you know, really that much. You did have, I did talk about, you know, Oregon, Auburn, and, you know, Bo Nix having that last touchdown to get the win. But it was mainly two things. It was mainly that, you know, Bo Nix didn't really have that much of a good game, and Oregon didn't really, you know, make the moves to really, finish off Auburn in the fourth quarter, you know?
You had one drive. Especially Auburn, you got to close them out, and Oregon didn't do that.
Yeah, and there was, you know, like one particular thing where, what was it, around about I was like 2:10 or 2:15 left in the fourth quarter, was second down and six or second down and seven, and Oregon went back, you know, went back to pass and ended up being, it was second and seven, went back to pass, and Herbert got sacked for a 7-yard loss. So it was, you know, third and 14, so you knew that they definitely had the pass in that one. So, you know, either you have a pass that's going to be – that needs to be a first down, or it's going to be short, or even worse, it's going to be incomplete. But, you know, they had like a 7-yard gain in that, so they had to give up and punt the football. And the punter only punted for like 29-yard punt and, you know, didn't give Auburn a, you know, a long way to go in order to get the score. So, yeah, they just didn't you know, do what was needed to, you know, kind of like finish off Auburn. It wasn't like much of, you know, what the Auburn offense did. It was more about what Oregon didn't do there in the second half to, you know, finish off the Auburn Tigers.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, and like I said, these, you know, these were two good teams, you know, but, you know, finishing games, that's, you know, That's part of the way you gotta put teams away. That's part of the way it takes to be a champion.
Yeah. Yep. So, you know, those are like, you know, the key games of the week. You did have, you know, those performances by Jalen Hurts there, who, you know, had six total touchdowns against Houston. And what was that? Over, what is that, 508 total yards of offense from Jalen Hurts in that first game against Houston, man. I was like, oh, man, this is like, wait, this is the same Jalen Hurts that they had in Alabama? I was like, yep, that's Jalen Hurts right there.
I mean, this is like, you know, this is, folks, but, you know, I mean, this is a dude, he went 38-2. So, I mean, you know, you took the team to the national championship. He was never bad. It's just, you know, they found somebody who was better, who they thought was better. But, I mean, like I say, you know, also – a dude like Jalen Hurts, he had potential for growth. I mean, you know, like I said, you know, he said in one of his interviews at the game, he's like, you know, I'm not the same dude I was. You know, he's like, you grow, you know, over a year. You know, I mean, some teams, you know, they, you know, some teams they can progress a dude like that. And I guess Alabama couldn't, you know, or didn't want to wait or couldn't want to wait. I mean, that, you know, you figure, like
it's almost like they want to open the playbook for him, you know, because.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is like Alabama, you know, until they had, you know, Tua Tagovailoa where they had the full confidence to open the full playbook, they don't really do that. They never did that for quarterbacks in Alabama. They never really did, you know, unless if you had like, man, only time I remember they could even do something even close to that was when Andrew Zau was the quarterback for them, you know, but every other, you know, quarterback that's went there, you know, they couldn't really, you know, do much to open the offense for them. So all they did was pretty much, you know, go with the, you know, tough running backs and stout defense and just, you know, went ahead and, you know, won games that way. So it didn't look like he didn't have to do all of that. The only job that he had was don't screw up. That's it. Just don't screw up. So they didn't, you know, as long as he didn't screw up, that was it. You know, they didn't need to open the playbook because with the defenses that they had, they didn't have to score a bunch of points against teams, you know. But even then, you have Tagovailoa out there and, you know, he was, you know, able to be mobile. He's a lighter, quicker quarterback. So he kind of like got things, you know, got the ball off quick, faster, or, you know, was able to drop back, you know, faster than Jalen Hurts and kind of open the offense to, you know, the guys that were out there in the end. So that's why he had that Alabama scoring like 42 points in like the first two quarters and all of that before they ran into Clemson and stuff like that. But, you know, here in Oklahoma, I mean, you know, here off this first, you know, performance, you kind of like see where, you know, Jalen Hurts could really do some damage. But, I mean, they, you know, they've always had the skill position players out there at Oklahoma. It's just, you know, being able to open things up to, you know, kind of, you know, make Hurts a pretty good quarterback. And the thing about it is that, you know, they really have the opportunity to be the same team scoring a lot of points like they've done the past 2 years. You know, they their schedule pretty much, you know, opens them up for them. I mean, they got this game, home game against South Dakota, and travel to UCLA, who lost to Cincinnati on the road this week. And, you know, other than that game against Texas, you know, in Dallas, they really don't have, you know, much of a challenge this year in the Big 12. It's not as, you know, it's not as deep as it was, you know, the past couple of years, you know. So Oklahoma pretty much has a straightforward shot to get to the college football playoff. All they have is that one game against Texas and might be smooth sailing.
Well, and you know, we can't forget the thing about Oklahoma is, you know, we got to look at which defense show up.
That's the thing that we got to see too.
If that last year defense shows up, they could have a mixture of Tom Brady and Michael Vick at quarterback, and they're still not going to win. So
For me, I just don't see, you know, where they would have, you know, any type of trap game on their schedule. That's not, you know, a high profile game like Texas.
Texas is gonna be their test, you know, and you know, like I say, it might come too late, you know, you never know. So
yeah. So yeah, that's the thing that, you know, I kind of like see out of that one. But you know, that kind of like covers you know, most of the high profile things that came out of week one. Of course, Notre Dame was able to get through Louisville with the win. I think they lost. Who did they? Their running back did get injured. I think he injured his groin.
Yeah, he said he's
going
to be out.
So he's going to be out for the next.
Did you talk about your boy Willie, man?
Oh no! No, man. No, actually.
What's Willie doing? Willie trying to get fired? I mean, it's gonna happen this year, but. I mean, my goodness. Then he started talking about they was dehydrating. Like, what?
Yeah. But my thing is, you know, I still say this, and I'm going to stick to it. Jimbo Fisher sabotaged that program because he let the inmates run the asylum. He let a lot of the players that didn't really have, you know, much discipline behind them. Still have those chances, second, third chances. So it's almost to the point where it's like, you know, FSU is, you know, like if they were on probation, you know, and they get a guy that's supposed to come in there and clean up. Remember, we talked about this before, like with Miami. When Miami was in probation, you know, they had somebody there that tried to clean it up. And, you know, once that was done, then they got the guy out of there. And so here with, you know, Willie Taggart, you know.
Usually always black. They bring through that.
Yep. And the thing about it is that, I mean, how many freshmen and sophomores do they, you know, really have, you know, out there on the team there for FSU? You know, that's out there up front right now, you know, other than, I mean, you know, Agus is junior. You know, Blackman's been there 3 years. So a lot of these players, especially those that are starting, they've been in the program before Willie Taggart got in. So That team that went like 5-7 and what was what was their record before that? You know, because they, you know, they had been, you know, they ended up missing, you know, missing missing a bowl game, and then they barely were bowl eligible that other year, right? So,
yeah. They're going to, like I say, I mean, I think we talked about it last year. Willie ain't going to be there, but I think the, like I said, they're going to get rid of him. It's not, to me, that's a foregone conclusion. You know, they're going to get rid of him. But to me, I think in order for him, for his career, he needs to at least have some good win. You know what I mean? He needs mm-hmm. to at least show that he's not getting. If his team gets beat, his team needs to get beat because the other team was better, not because they were out coached,
but
because their players weren't.
Yeah, but the thing about it is, with this particular game against Boise State, I mean, it wasn't like, you know, Boise State is like, you know, one of those programs that you usually walk over. This is a program that usually schedules these type of games. So they usually get prepared for these type of games to start their season. Like, so
yeah,
they
true.
You know, they're used to all of that, whether they have to travel or go to a neutral site or whatever, you know.
On which part, though, you gotta be prepared for it, too. You're Florida State. So, you know, it's just, you know, I mean, to me, like I said, I can see – you know, like I say, if this was, you know, 6 or 7, you know, 10 years ago, Boise State, I'd be like, oh wow, you know, okay, might not be that much of a surprise. Boise State stuff went in on him, but I mean, it's just, I'll say this, it's not a good look for Willie. it's not a good look.
But I mean, my thing, the thing about it is, though, that was the thing they told my dehydrate, like. They did not score 1 point in the second half at home. And the thing about it is like, I was like, what was it? Yeah, at the end of that quarter, end of the first half, I was like, okay, it's 31-19. I'm like, wait a minute. They only had like a 14-point lead. I was like, you know what? Something's up with all that. When they were up 31-19, I was like, I ain't had that much confidence because – like they supposed to have the best player on offense basically with Cam Akers, you know, and it's not like you know they had a bad, you know, performance on offense. It was that defense couldn't stop nobody for a leg, you know, and that's also one of their stories too.
I looked at all these the second and third year running backs, looking at Akers, you know, all the top guys, looking at Harris and Bama, looking at Stephen Carr and USC, and I'm not impressed, you know, and those are the top three guys out of their class, and I'm impressed.
Yeah. Well, the thing with Najee Harris is, I mean, he was pretty much put in a situation with, you know, Damian Harris in there and Josh Jacobs was there and, you know, who else they got, you know, there now. So he's basically in a program that always churns those type of players, you know.
Yeah, I think, like I said, Najee, he came with so much hype. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, when, you know, you was hearing, you know, Adrian Peterson and this and that, you know, it was like, oh, wow. It was like, this dude is true. You know, like I said, you've seen his tapes, and it's like, you know, his tapes, you know, he was the truth. You know, the school he played for, they were actually in my high school's league, in the same league. But they were, they were traditionally a weaker school. And it's like, okay, he's going to Alabama, you know, he had some good seasons when he was like that second or third guy, you know, he put up some good yards per carry. I think he had like 7 yards per carry, you know, so he put up, mm-hmm. you know, couple of things. But then it's like, you know, like I say, I mean, I don't want to jump to too many conclusions. Like I said, especially, you know, and I'm an SC guy, you know, I'm watching Stephen Carr. I'm like, bro, you know, what's going on?
Oh, yeah, man.
But, you know,
yeah.
He's breaking up here. He's, you know, he's looking, you know, he had a promising freshman year, you know, but now, you know, it's like now he's looking boo-boo. And it's like, oh, my goodness. You know, and then, like I said, you know, Cam Akers, you know, he was supposed to be, you know, everybody, oh, you know, Dalvin Cook leaving, but it's okay because we got.
Yeah,
you know,
we got Cam Akers.
He ain't going to miss a beat. Cam Akers is not Dalvin Cook.
Yeah.
You know?
He's not.
Go ahead and put that one away right now. He's not Dalvin Cook. So,
yeah, he don't have that type of speed and elusiveness or, you know, toughness either. And like I said, when Dalvin Cook was at Florida State, he was the best player at Florida State. So, you know, and that was, you know, after you had, even though a lot of the, you know, players from that national championship team had left for the NFL, you still had, you know, Jameis there and all of them other players. But, yeah, Dalvin Cook was the, you know, the best player on that team. And same thing here. I mean, Cam Akers is supposed to be the best player on this team, and, you know, we ain't really doing much. But the problems with Florida State that happened, you know, before Taggart got there is still the same problem. So you still have the things with the players, you know, not being – you know, completely into it. You have the issues with the offensive line. Now you have the issues with the, you know, you still have issues with defense too. I mean, you can't have like a dude coming in there. Who's this dude? Ain't he a freshman? Yeah, this Bachmeyer dude is a freshman throwing for 400 yards on him. I'm like, come on, man.
Yep.
It's like, yeah. Yeah, 400 yards. And then their running back has 140 yards rushing on them, like over 500 yards of offense in the first game. Like, this is, you know, coming off of, you know.
Not a good look.
And this is supposed to be a team that had, like, man, it's not been that, like, how long ago has it been, though? That's been, what, 6 years, though? That has been 6 years, hasn't it, when they won the title?
Sure.
But, you know, that defense, you know, only allowed like about, you know, 9 or 10 points a game. And now you're having this happen, you know. But that can't be Florida State. So they're going to have to, you know, really do something to, you know, try to clean things up. Because, I mean, you do have Clemson, but, you know, you got Syracuse in your you know, still in your division. You know, Louisville looking like Louisville. Hey, man, shoot, Louisville can get them. You know, with that quarterback, you know, almost looking like Lamar Jackson out there. Man, Louisville can get them. I'm like, man. You know, so they, I mean, it's not looking good to me. And the thing about it is that, yo, even with you had this opening loss, you could lose to Clemson on the, you know, you're on the road. You do have Florida on the road. I mean, even if they had like 4 losses for the season, that could still be it for Taggart. And I'm like, yo, y'all have no idea what they've been doing while, you know, Jimbo was, you know, their coach. And I was like, man. But, yeah, you did have that go down last week with, you know, FSU losing to Boise State at home. And then you have your team.
I got to drop back off. I got to get back into work, man.
All right, gotcha. All right, yeah, I was you know, about to touch into, you know, the thing with USC because – you know, they had a, you know, their game with them, you know, going up against, you know, Fresno State. That was a very close game, you know, for them where, you know, they had, you know, they had the thing where they had to, JT Daniels pretty much, you know, was out with, you know, a leg injury. So, Kidon Slovis had to finish off the game for him. And, you know, that pretty much almost cost them the game. As Fresno was able to, you know, get the game into 8 points, was able to stop USC on fourth down, get the ball back to, you know, try to score a touchdown and, you know, try to tie the game to get in the overtime, but was not able to get that last touchdown in at the, you know, end of the game. You know, had Reyna throw to the end zone. It was intercepted by Isaiah Polamalu, and that, you know, ended the game with, you know, USC getting the win 31-23. So they opened their season with the win. They do have, you know, the game against Stanford Saturday night. That'll be on ESPN, but you know, they won't have JT Daniels there. And so, you know, freshman Kaydon Slovis will have to, you'll be the guy under center for him. So, you know, you can't, they, you know, had a lot of expectations there with JT Daniels. But now, you know, with him having the season and the knee injury, he got to see what's going to be up for them with now a freshman quarterback going up against Stanford. You know, while that game is at home, it's still a very tough game for them. You know, next week. So you did have that. Just wanted to, you know, get more into week two there in college football. I did, you know, talk about the thing with Clemson and Texas A&M. It's going to be the feature game at 3:30. While you're on prime time, you do have LSU versus Texas that is scheduled for 7:30 on ABC there at Texas. So it's LSU at Texas. You know, that's, you know, kind of like most of the, you know, games to focus on there in week two. A lot of the other teams within the top 25 are, you know, facing a lowly ranked non-conference teams. You do have Ohio State going up against Cincinnati, 12 o'clock on ABC. You did remember Cincinnati was able to get the home win over UCLA last week. So that's something you got to watch out for. Michigan against Army on Fox on 12 o'clock. That's going to be another game to watch out for. You know, but, you know, other than that, we don't see much out there, except maybe a trap game between number 25 Nebraska at Colorado. You know, Big Ten versus Pac-12, 3:30 on Fox. So that's going to be another thing to kind of watch out for there in college football at week two. So that's kind of like you know, what you had there in the slate of games. Of course, you had you know, I would say the team that took the big L this past weekend was the Tennessee Volunteers losing to Georgia State 38-30. Losing to a team in Georgia State, you know, while they have a supposedly have a large student population, that doesn't mean that they get the guys that Tennessee usually gets out there. And, you know, what we were saying in reference to Tennessee, I think I said this in another one of the shows on the Go Long Media channel. I said about Tennessee, yeah, they may have had like all of these guys that are supposedly coming back, you know, starters or whatever it is. A lot of returning starters coming back. But I said, hey, last time they had about 19 or 20 returning starters, they didn't really go anywhere that particular season. And now You see that they have not really started on the good foot by losing to Georgia State at home. Now you got to see what they're going to be able to do here in the rest of the regular season. This time, hosting BYU, who, you know, like I was saying, did lose to Utah at home in their rivalry game that they had. So that's pretty much most of, you know, what we could cover there for week two in college football. Wanted to get into the National Football League. We're starting it off tomorrow night. Green Bay Packers against the Chicago Bears. You know, we have these two teams, you know, getting it on last year. You had the Bears pretty much surprise a lot of people in the NFL being able to, you know, get through that NFC North, you know, with a division title. You know, while the Packers were not able to make the playoffs, you also did have the Minnesota Vikings that, you know, kind of like were, you know, not able to live up to their expectations either. So this is going to be an interesting game between these two teams. You have the Packers there with their new head coach, you know, with Mike McCarthy leaving or being taken out after last season. So we got to see, you know, how Aaron Rodgers, you know, gets adjusted with, you know, the new head coach there, Matt LaFleur. So, you know, I would say that you got to see if they're going to be able to have like a new type of offense. If, you know, Aaron Rodgers will, you know, get back into the thick of things. Of course, he's been regarded as the top quarterback in the National Football League, according to many. But, you know, now he's going into this first game of the season. The line is having Chicago being favored by 3 points. And, you know, Mitch Trubisky surprised a lot of people last year, so including myself. I did not think Mitch Trubisky was, you know, that much of a quarterback to be able to have to be able to be a high pick for the Chicago Bears, but he was able to do what he could out there to lead the Bears to a division title last year. So that's something to, you know, kind of look out for. In Sunday games, this is Sunday games, you have like, you know, two divisional games in the NFC East. The Redskins against the Eagles at 1 o'clock, and then the Giants against the Cowboys. Of course, you know about what happened earlier today with the Cowboys being able to extend the contract for Ezekiel Elliott. So he's pretty much locked down for a you know, good amount of time there. Contract extension, 6 years, $90 million, around $90 million. You know, with $50 million guaranteed. So he'll be, you know, on his initial, you know, initial rookie contract, and then being able to play on that new contract after the first contract is done. But they do host the Giants. You know, not really much is expected from the Giants this season. You do have Eli Manning still there. They did get Daniel Jones, drafted Daniel Jones out of Duke. There with their top pick that they had. And, you know, I'm not really much of a fan of Daniel Jones being that high of a pick. But, hey, they went ahead and did it anyway. Of course, you know, they have their you know, running back Saquon Barkley is pretty much being as one of the top running backs in the National Football League. But they really, you know, with them losing Odell Beckham to the Cleveland Browns, their, you know, passing attack is going to be a means of focus this year, because we got to see what their who their go-to receiver is going to be with the departure of Odell Beckham Jr. And, you know, now with the Cowboys, you know, do have their offense. They, you know, also, you know, had a, you know, I would say a key signing there, because they were able to also, you know, sign DeMarcus Lawrence to a pretty good contract too. So they were able to lock down two of their key players on both sides of the ball before the NFL season started. So those, you know, that's one thing that, you know, I'm kind of focused on there. Of course, me being a fan of the Dallas Cowboys, but also, you know, another, I'd say a couple of other games that I'm looking at actually have a, you know, few good matchups here in week one. Rams against the Panthers, that's going to be a good one. Of course, you got to see what Cam Newton's going to do here this season. He did have a good start last season, going 6-2 before going through some pains and injuries. And the team overall going 2-6 to have a .500 record to end the season. The Rams, of course, the defending NFC champions. Jared Goff also getting a contract extension himself, so he got paid. See if they're going to be able to, you know, go off that momentum there to see if they'll be able to defend that NFC championship and be, you know, that top team in the NFC West. You know, before we get into that primetime game, you also have also early is the Chiefs and the Jaguars. You know, Jaguars, you know, not really having Blake Bortles there anymore. Nick Foles moving from Philadelphia over to Jacksonville. So that is something that we got to see if the offense is going to be able to open up a little bit more in Jacksonville, going up against Kansas City Chiefs, which has the, you know, had the most prolific offense in the NFL last year, of course, with Patrick Mahomes throwing for a bunch of yards and what was it, about 50 touchdowns last season. So, of course, a lot of eyes will be on him this season to see if he'll be able to repeat that performance that he had last year. So you do have that. The Colts going on the road against the Chargers. Of course, you know about Andrew Luck retiring out of the blue, corner of many. So now they got Jacoby Brissett as the starting quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts, going up against San Diego Chargers, who it looks like they're going to be dealing with no Melvin Gordon, as Melvin Gordon is holding out, you know, for another contract. He's not, you know, at the level of Ezekiel Elliott, you know. And, you know, now they're saying that, you know, they're open for a trade for Melvin Gordon, but the Chargers are asking for a fifth-round pick and a first-round pick for Melvin Gordon. And I don't think anyone is going to be giving up a first-round pick for Melvin Gordon, much less a fifth-round pick. So that's going to be, you know, a instance where they're going to be pretty much stuck with Melvin Gordon holding out, sitting on the bench, so to speak, out there, you know, while he's, you know, waiting for a new contract. But if the Chargers are not willing to bend for him and pretty much say that, you know, they have guys here like Austin Eckler that, you know, could perform well enough for them to hold down the fort in the backfield, then, you know, Melvin Gordon may have to look elsewhere to see what he can get out there in the market. So that's another one of the games there in the late afternoon. And then a primetime game on NBC Sunday night, Steelers against the defending NFL champion New England Patriots. So that's going to be a key game. That's always been a marquee game when the Steelers and the Patriots score up against each other. These are, you know, two of the flagship franchises in the AFC. You have, of course, Ben Roethlisberger for the Steelers, Tom Brady for the Patriots. You know, this time you don't have Antonio Brown there as the go-to receiver for the Steelers. So it's going to be Juju Smith-Schuster as the focal point for Ben Roethlisberger. But I think that they're going to have some type of an offensive scheme where Ben Roethlisberger is going to be able to spread the ball out to, you know, their receiving core, including their tight end, and, you know, get their running game going there with James Conner now, who's going to be the main guy in the backfield. And they also did pick up Benny Snell Jr. out of Kentucky in the draft. So that's something that we're going to be looking out for as well. And they also did pick up Dante Moncrief, who was a your receiver out there for the Indianapolis Colts. So, you know, that and, you know, they got the James Washington is, you know, a slot receiver and a backup, you know, slot receiver, you know, I would say is a Ryan Switzer. So that's going to be a focal point there on Sunday night to see what the Pittsburgh offense is going to do there with the loss of Antonio Brown. New England's going to be New England. So not really, you know, expecting much new from them. Then you have, you know, on Monday night, usually the opening night is a doubleheader. So you're going to have the Texans and the Saints, which, you know, I think is going to be a fairly high scoring game between those two teams. You know, you have Drew Brees back there, you know, going up against Deshaun Watson. You know, you had Demetrius, you know, DeAndre Hopkins. And, you know, the Saints, you know, having their receiver, Michael Thomas as well. So that's, you know, that's going to be a very, very, very good game between two high-profile offensive rosters. Of course, you do have J.J. Watt there on the defensive side for the Texans, but they don't have Jadeveon Clowney, who got traded over to the Seattle Seahawks. So that's going to be a loss that the Texans will have on the defensive side of the ball. And then the late game at 10:30 will be the Broncos at the Raiders. First, you know, game that where you're going to be seeing Antonio Brown in the silver and black. You know, while he'll be, you know, $50,000 lower or so, he'll still be able to be out there on the field for Carr, so that we'll be able to see what Derek Carr could do out there with Antonio Brown. You have, you know, Josh Jacobs and Isaiah Crowell in the backfield for the Raiders. But, you know, there's, of course, there's always large expectations for the Raiders to, you know, actually do something. Going up against the Broncos, who, you know, did acquire Joe Flacco as quarterback there. And they're going to see, like, how they're going to be doing with Joe Flacco at quarterback. I think they have a, you know, pretty solid skill position depth chart, you know, out there for him. So that's, you know, kind of like what we have out there for that first week of the NFL. Of course, a lot of people are probably, you know, also look at what the Browns are going to do when they face the Titans with, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. there. You know, Baker Mayfield in their second year. You know, they're able to have Nick Chubb there in the backfield as well, you know, coming out of Georgia. So, and also, you know, David Njoku, young guy there from Miami. So they have a young core there in the skill position players with, you know, Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry being kind of like the veterans there with that offense. And so that's going to be, you know, another focal point because there's, you know, large expectations for the Cleveland Browns to try to do something here this season and, you know, possibly go after the AFC North division title. But, you know, I think that with the overall depth of the AFC North, it's going to be a very tough division for all of those teams that are involved, except for maybe the Cincinnati Bengals. To me, I don't think that the Bengals will, you know, really do that much this season. So it'll pretty much be a three-team race for the AFC North this year. So that's going to be a focal point for the 2019 season. You know, that kind of like, you know, covers most of what's out there to look for in week one. You know, also, you know, that Falcons-Vikings game at 1 o'clock, that's going to be probably something to look out for. Of course, the Vikings had a fairly disappointing season last season, you know, coming off of being in the NFC Championship game that previous year, you know, losing to the Philadelphia Eagles, and coming in having a, you know, a new quarterback in Kirk Cousins that particular year. He didn't perform very well in his first season at Minnesota. So they're hoping to, you know, get some improvement from that quarterback position this year from Kirk Cousins. So you do host the Atlanta Falcons who, you know, also, you know, kind of like have to bounce back from, you know, their previous season as well because, you know, they kind of like ended their season, you know, with a 7-9 record, you know, after, you know, being a contender for, you know, the NFC. But they couldn't necessarily, you know, get through there in 2018, having that 7-9 season. So that was a very disappointing 2018 for the Atlanta Falcons as well. So you got to see if they're going to be able to bounce back from that and have a better season than they did last year. So that kind of like runs through, you know, most of what's out there for week one in the National Football League. So, you know, pretty much covered, you know, most of, you know, what's out there for this weekend, this coming weekend. Like I said, week one of the NFL, Packers, Bears tomorrow night. You know, not necessarily. I have to see what happens with this new head coach that they have there for, you know, the Green Bay Packers, man. You know, Matt LaFleur is going to have a, you know, a lot of eyes on him because he's, you know, the brand new guy coming in, and, you know, Aaron Rodgers is the well-established quarterback, has all of these accolades and this and that, but was it only one Super Bowl win? But, you know, hey, if he's able to, you know, get things going there over in Green Bay and, you know, kind of like get them back up to contending for that NFC North championship, then, you know, maybe Aaron Rodgers could have another run at trying to get to the Super Bowl this year. So that's something that we're going to be looking out for over the course of the season is if Green Bay could get back from where they were last season into contending for the division title this season, and trying to get themselves in position to contend for the Super Bowl, which will be should be in Miami in 2020. So that's what you got there so far. So I mean, that's pretty much what I got here for this particular episode of Take This L. We have a couple of other shows here live on the Go Long Media channel on Sunday night. You have the Boxing Source radio show. That'll be 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 4:30 p.m. Pacific Time on this particular channel here on the Blog Talk Radio. And Tuesday nights you have Cohort Truth on Sports with Matthew Long. Usually starts around 8:30, 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time on Tuesday nights. So just be on the lookout for that. And we'll see if we'll get this show back up on next Wednesday. Should be September 11th. Pretty much start around, 9 o'clock Eastern Time, 6 o'clock Pacific Time. So that's pretty much what we have here for this one. And thank y'all for listening in, and I'll catch y'all next week.
Better than diamond rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow, referees whistle blows. Weekend warriors toe to toe. Football.
So old timers, do you remember the names like Bronco Nagurski and Night Train Lane, Bulldog Turner, my man Sam Huff? In the snow and the mud, they were still real tough. Crazy Leg Turk, and remember Raymond Berry asked me if they hit hard, and I'll say Berry, Paul, Christian, Buddy, Young Lady Moore. Is them I adore, they seem to always score. Ed Sprinkle, defensive end for those years. Gene Big Daddy Liston was the man to fear. You have Steve Van Buren and Otto Graham. Johnny Unitas had the arm of a Superman. We had Charlie Trippi and Gino Marquette. If you're searching for a champion, they're your best bet. Which I could quarterback like Johnny Lou Jack or even Sid Luckman, as a matter of fact. Do you remember Red Brains, the galloping ghost? He could do a 95 running coast to coast. You had Norm Van Brocklin, a real great player, so swift with his moves that he could be mayor. Why ain't Tittle, Allie Madison? Hey, I remember all those guys from back in the day.
It's the sport of kings, better than diamond rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow, referees whistle blows. Weekend warriors toe to toe. Football. 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 Football.